Breaking news tonight, a police officer charged with murder and a shocking confrontation caught on camera. A teenager shot 16 times. The video now being released as Chicago tonight braces for fallout. Shot down, a Russian fighter jet blown out of the sky near the Syrian-Turkey border. Vladimir Putin lashes out while the president of France comes to the White House. A high-stakes escalation threatening the global fight against ISIS. New alert, an FBI bulletin to local law enforcement all across the country as the major holiday travel rush begins. As seen on TV, what a sharp-eyed viewer saw that may have saved a popular TV host's life. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. There are urgent calls for calm being issued by officials and community leaders in Chicago as that city braces tonight after the public release of video showing the police shooting of a 17-year-old. The police officer was charged today with first-degree murder. A judge ordered the release of the dash cam video, which was said to show that officer repeatedly shooting the teen, including twice in the back as he walked away with a small knife in his hand. And now we are seeing it for ourselves. The officer is white, the teen is black. The case has been awash in controversy, especially because it's taken more than a year for charges to be filed. NBC Stephanie Gosk has breaking details and a warning. What you're about to see is disturbing.
This dash cam video captures the scene last October when Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke fired his 9mm handgun at 17-year-old Laquan McDonald.
This defendant's actions were not justified, and they were not a proper use of deadly force by this police officer.
McDonald died on his way to the hospital. Today, more than a year later, Van Dyke was charged with first-degree murder and held without bail. And the graphic dash cam video of the shooting was made public.
It is graphic. It is violent. It is chilling.
McDonald took PCP that night and was carrying a 3-inch blade when he was confronted here by police. The prosecutor says Officer Van Dyke fired 16 rounds, roughly a bullet a second, and that for 13 seconds during the shooting, the teenager had already fallen to the ground. The coroner's report shows McDonald's gunshot wounds. At least two were in the back. Officer Van Dyke's attorney says the cop feared for his life.
It's truly not a murder case, and we feel that we're going to be very successful in defending this case.
6 months ago, the city paid McDonald's family a $5 million settlement without agreeing to any wrongdoing, even though there was never a lawsuit filed. Now the city of Chicago is bracing for protests. The victim's family did not want the video released, and today, in a statement, urged calm. If you choose to speak out, we urge you to be peaceful.
Will we use this episode in this moment to build bridges that bring us together as a city, or we allow it to become a way that erects barriers that tear us apart as a city?
Authorities anticipate that there will be protests. We just don't know when or where. And some local leaders are worried about violence. We spoke to a pastor of one of the largest congregations in Chicago. He said there is already anger in some communities here, and he worries that a video like this will just add fuel to the fire. Lester?
All right, Stephanie Goss tonight. Thank you. In Minneapolis, two men are under arrest after five people were shot at a Black Lives Matter protest. Police say they arrested a 23-year-old white man and a 32-year-old Hispanic man and are looking for more suspects. All five victims suffered non-life-threatening injuries last night while protesting the fatal police shooting of Jamar Clark. Police say it's too early to comment on protesters' claims that they were attacked by white supremacists. A fatal encounter between Russian and Turkish warplanes in the skies above the Syrian border have ratcheted up tensions between Russia and an important NATO ally. The U.S. is calling for calm and warning against an escalation after Turkey shot down a Russian plane it claims violated Turkish airspace. It's a claim Russia strongly rejects tonight. NBC's Richard Engel is in Turkey and has the latest.
The fireball over Syria's sky threatens to ignite the entire region. A Russian Su-24 supersonic bomber shot down by a Turkish F-16. The two Russian pilots did manage to eject, but they floated down into hostile territory, ground held by the very Syrian fighters the pilots had allegedly been bombing. These so-called moderate rebels quickly posted a video cheering, insulting Russia and the fallen pilot.
Why were they celebrating?
Because the downed plane was firing on civilians, on camps, on people. Russia says it's fighting ISIS, but there is no ISIS in this area, he said. Russia, which has bases in Syria, scrambled search and rescue helicopters, desperate to save the other pilot. But the rebels claimed they fired on the rescue helicopters with an American-made missile. Russia confirmed a chopper was hit, one crew member killed, the rest saved. In Moscow, President Vladimir Putin was furious. This was a stab in the back by the associates of terrorists, he said. But Turkey told a different story, releasing what it says was the Russian jet's flight path and insisting it was targeted only after it crossed into Turkish airspace and after multiple warnings.
The downing of the Russian jet fighter basically really punctures a hole in the likelihood, the possibility of integrating Russia into the Western-led alliance, the American-led alliance.
And the harder it is to get Russia and NATO together, the better it is for ISIS, which is only too happy to see its enemies shooting each other down.
Russia said it will not retaliate militarily against Turkey, but warned it will shoot down anything that threatens one of its aircraft again. Lester?
All right, Richard, and the incident with that Russian jet managed to overshadow a crucial meeting at the White House today. French President Hollande came to Washington before going on to Moscow to push for a united response against ISIS for the attacks in Paris. But as our chief foreign affairs correspondent Andrea Mitchell explains, his mission did not go as planned.
President Obama, widely criticized for not condemning the Paris attacks strongly enough, tried to make up for it today, pledging to escalate the war against ISIS.
It cannot be tolerated, it must be destroyed, and we must do it together.
Mais il faut agir.
France's President Hollande said we must act, but his hopes of drawing Obama and Vladimir Putin into a new coalition against ISIS were derailed by Turkey's shootdown of the Russian plane.
Turkey, like every country, has a right to defend its territory and its airspace.
And Obama sharply criticized Putin, who he says is fighting a different enemy than the U.S. and France.
The challenge has been Russia's focus on propping up Assad rather than focusing on ISIL. Russia right now is a coalition of two, Iran and Russia, supporting Assad.
Obama is calling on Russia not to escalate with Turkey despite Putin's threats.
Putin will respond. There's no doubt in my mind. I think it's highly unlikely that he would attack Turkey, a NATO ally, but I think you could see a response inside Syria.
France is ramping up airstrikes against ISIS from a carrier in the Mediterranean.
Make no mistake, we will win, and groups like ISIL will lose.
Intelligence failures in France and Belgium. Obama also demanded better intelligence cooperation with France and the rest of Europe, especially the names of passengers flying to the U.S. in order to identify foreign fighters trying to attack the U.S. homeland. Lester.
Andrea, thanks. We're learning chilling new details tonight about the terror attacks in Paris and the next plot the ringleader of that cell intended to carry out just days later, before authorities closed in, stopping it just in time. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the latest from Paris.
Lester, good evening. Authorities said today his plan wasn't over. Abdelhamid Abaoud, the suspected ringleader of the Paris attacks, was allegedly plotting another suicide bombing. This one in Paris's business district last Wednesday or Thursday, foiled when Abaoud died in this police raid in a northern Paris suburb, hours before the deadly attack would have been carried out. Cell phone records showed Abaoud returned to the scenes of the carnage. Today, authorities in Belgium issued a new international arrest warrant for 30-year-old Mohamed Abrini. He was seen before the Paris attacks in a car with suspected terrorist Salah Abdeslam, who is also on the run. Since the attacks, French authorities have conducted more than 1,200 searches and taken 165 people into custody. Lester?
Yeah, Gutierrez in Paris. Also tonight, ISIS out with a new propaganda video taunting the U.S., among other things, saying our military lacks resolve after recent operations overseas. And there's a new bulletin from the FBI and Homeland Security urging the nation's police to remain vigilant for ISIS threats right before the holiday travel rush begins. Our justice correspondent Pete Williams has late details.
ISIS taunts the U.S. in its latest propaganda video, saying American operations in Iraq and Afghanistan have left the military demoralized, struggling with suicide. No threats in that video, but here at home, holiday travelers are finding more security at airports and on mass transit. As a new FBI and Homeland Security bulletin urges local police to stay vigilant, ISIS, it says, may expand efforts to conduct attacks against soft targets. But it says the biggest threat of such a Paris-style attack is still overseas, while the top concern in the U.S. remains homegrown extremists.
The bulletin says police here at home should also encourage people to report what they consider suspicious, and now there's an app for that. You can take a picture of something or someone suspicious, send it in with the address, and police can check it out. The app is called See Something, Send Something.
It's now working in six states, Colorado, Louisiana, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Virginia, with more to come. That message, if you see something, say something, has produced a dramatic response since the Paris attacks. In Arlington County, Virginia, Police Chief Jay Farr says the number of such calls is way up.
We're chasing some leads that may never pan out. However, occasionally they do. And for the ones that do, it may be worth its weight in gold to us.
The FBI DHS bulletin also urges local police to review their training for responding to active shooters.
Where is it?
The subject of this recently released FBI training video.
The FBI also says a discarded cell phone found in Paris that likely belonged to one of the attackers did contain encryption software after all, but it's still not clear how or even if it was used to conceal their communications from the French police. Lester?
All right, Pete Williams, thank you. As the Thanksgiving travel rush begins, several potential weather headaches to be aware of. Tomorrow, the worst will be in areas like Salt Lake City, Billings, Montana, and Boise. As a storm system moves through by Thursday, travel could be very hazardous from Chicago to Dallas with snow and ice possible. By Friday, the system moves further into the Midwest and south with possible icing in Texas and Oklahoma. Still ahead tonight, avoid these at all costs if you're loading up the car this Thanksgiving, the worst traffic bottlenecks in the country. You might be surprised when you hear where some of them are. Also, Dogs on Demand, the new service that can instantly brighten your day with some adorable four-legged friends. We're back now with the holiday travel rush underway. 47 million Americans going 50 miles or more from home this Thanksgiving week, 90% of them driving to their destination. Perhaps your family is among them. But they're headed out onto a highway system that is quite literally falling apart, contributing to some of the most clogged choke points across the country. NBC's Tom Costello has the new list, which traffic nightmares are the worst.
Early morning in Chicago and the worst bottleneck in the country already living up to its name.
Kennedy inbound, still very tough. Hour 12 from O'Hare.
A 12-mile stretch of I-90 that Mark Teer drives every day on his way into downtown.
Starting at 6:30 in the morning, that's when things get really congested here.
The sun reflecting off the snow only aggravated the commute. While in Southern California, yet another day with record traffic levels now pounding the crumbling roads. At the top of the list of the nation's worst bottlenecks behind Chicago's Kennedy Expressway, the 405, I-10, I-110, and the 101 in Los Angeles, the Lincoln Tunnel and I-95 in New York, and I-35 in Austin, Texas. Analysts say the top 30 choke points in the country cost commuters 91 million hours of lost time, 10,000 car crashes each year, and hundreds of millions of gallons of gasoline. The Secretary of Transportation says it's time for Congress to spend the money to fix the nation's crumbling roads and bridges.
What America's getting is a preview of what we can expect to occur over the next 30 years if things go unchecked.
It's been 10 years since Congress passed a long-term highway funding plan. 10 years. Now they have just until December 4th to get it done. Meanwhile, cheap gas prices are fueling the surge in traffic. GasBuddy.com predicting the national average could soon drop below $2 a gallon, the first time in 6 years, just in time for the holiday rush. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
We're back in a moment with a viewer at home who spotted something everyone else missed on the air and may have saved the life of a TV host. Now to the eagle-eyed viewer who may have saved a popular TV show host's life. Their story now going viral. She's a nurse who spotted something unusual in his neck and alerted his producers. And as NBC's Miguel Almaguer reports, what happened next is, well, something straight out of a TV show.
I'm Tarek, and this is my wife, Christina. We're real estate agents. Ever since
the popular HGTV show Flip or Flop is watched by more than 4 million people, but it was one sharp-eyed viewer.
Oh, my God.
Who may have saved host Tarek El Moussa's life.
I don't think the ICD-10...
Ryan Reed, a registered nurse who works near Dallas, was watching a Flip or Flop marathon when she noticed a lump on El Moussa's neck.
I actually paused it, rewound it, watched it again to see if I really was seeing what I thought I was seeing.
Reed sent this email to show producers, urging El Moussa to have his thyroid check, saying she could see a nodule at the base of his neck.
It's not something might be wrong, something is wrong. So if someone from Texas reached out to us, it has to be important.
El Moussa, a young father, was diagnosed with stage 2 thyroid cancer. After surgery and radiation in 2013, he's now in remission.
The interesting thing about thyroid cancer is that it most often shows up as just a lump in the neck. Oftentimes blood tests will be normal, the patient will feel fine.
On an episode of The Doctors...
You have not met Nurse Ryan yet, have you?
Have not.
Do you want to meet her?
Absolutely.
The host finally met the viewer who saved his life. A happy ending made for TV. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
When we come back tonight, forget ordering lunch if you want to be the hit of your office. Maybe you should order puppies instead. Finally tonight, we live in a time when we can get just about anything with the push of a button. Now that includes a potential new best friend delivered right to your office. As our Janet Shamlian asks, instead of a coffee break, how about taking a puppy break?
It's a different kind of happy hour.
So are you.
At an Austin advertising agency, the tonic for a rough day. Does it get any better? Puppies delivered to the office.
Oh my God.
All the love, none of the housebreaking.
Does it relieve the stress of the workday?
Absolutely it does.
Welcome to Uber Puppies.
There you go, girls. Ready to go for a ride.
The ride-sharing app's latest charm offensive.
Good. I was just calling to confirm that you requested Uber Puppies.
$30 buys 15 minutes of cuddle time, if you can get them.
Demand for Uber in general is very high, and for puppies, it pretty much breaks the internet.
Oh, my God.
One request from a college photography class.
You signed off on this?
I did. Yes. I mean, it's fun. They all wanted to do it. That's fine. I like puppies.
A different pair of pups visit a high-tech firm.
You are.
The calls come in nonstop.
We have Uber puppies.
Partnering with shelters in a dozen cities, it started as a campaign to increase dog adoption.
This is like delivering Christmas, isn't it?
It's become much more. With holidays looming and work beckoning, the stress-busting effect of puppy play dates, a prescription for whatever ails.
You're such a sweet girl. Yes, you are.
Janet Shamlian, NBC News, Austin.
Now, there's a great idea. That will do it for us on this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.